Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, let's kiss and not fight. It seems like we're living in a time of violence, 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 where the majority of people would rather fight than switch. I don't know why that's the attitude that a lot of people have, an attitude of ingratitude, but when it comes to fighting, I don't think we really should be about the business of wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not going to accomplish anything like that. We're going to do a part two. We're going to do a continuation of violence. And last week we talked about the rise of violence in the city of Chicago. Well over 400 now that have succumbed to death by the use of a gun. And you know the saying, guns don't kill people, people kill people. And that's the truth to that. It just seems like things are under control. Now we see things moving on the international scene, the threat of violence. We hope it doesn't really spread, but it seems like it may, as talk and spread of North Korea's nuclear weapons capabilities, President Trump responded with a warning. Yes, he did. And by the way, this is Straight Talk with Stan Macklin and co-host Bianca Forbes, and you're more than welcome to call your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, and invite them to listen as well as to comment. You can give us a call at 347-850-1598, where we'll be more than glad to talk with you concerning today's program. But Trump has issued a warning, and what that warning has said is that North Korea's best not make any more threats to the United States. Seems like he's calling Kim Jong bluff. I guess he's going to test him to see what this man is made of. And Trump said this at an event at his Bedminster, New Jersey golf club. This is what he said. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. Well, I don't know. What does that mean? I mean, we've had some world wars. Vietnam was a mess. Yes, it was. It was a mess. Over 54,000 men died. World War I was a mess. World War II was even another great mess. Well, what are we going to see? I hope we don't see anything. But the president then repeated that North Korea will be met with fire and fury and, frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before. If he continues with this behavior. That's very strong, isn't it? That's very strong, what he's saying. And I don't know if the escalation of somebody being a bully can cause this here to go into another direction. We hope not. We hope it doesn't. But given the high stakes, it was usually aggressive language from a U.S. president. They usually don't talk like this. But after all, this is President Trump. He says what he wants to say and without any remorse whatsoever. He's always been like that. He even campaigned like that. Stranger still, this language has clear echoes to threats made by North Korea to the United States and its allies. Wow. This is something. You know, all it takes is just the bullying of words, the power of the tongue that can be very cutting, very damaging. You know, these leaders, they like to start wars. They like to start aggressive, hostile takeovers, regime changes, things like that. Somebody feels they got to be number one. But in recent years, Pyongyang state-run Korean Central News Agency, KCNA, has repeatedly threatened to turn the South Korean capital, Seoul, into a sea of fire if it's attacked. In other words, you mess with us if you want to, and we're going to fire something that's going to set your capital, Seoul, on fire in South Korea. We're not going to just sit back and just don't punch back. Well, if attacked, North Korea has even produced propaganda videos imagining what such an attack might look like. Last year, the website DPRK Today released videos of a simulated attack on Seoul. You know, when you start planting seeds of damnation and ruination, sooner or later, they're going to spring up. And hopefully, well, let's not say hopefully, but it's just a fact. You plant a seed, you're going to reap. You sow and you reap. That's a common principle. That's a common law. So if you're sowing seeds of ruination, which leads to damnation, something's going to come up. And I hope that these simulated attacks on Seoul, the video ended with a warning. And, you know, that's just uncalled for. It really is. So we hope that none of this here craziness takes place. We don't want that to take place like that. It just shouldn't. Everything will turn into ashes, is what King Jung, if that's his correct name, has said. But who knows? We don't know. In the meantime, Washington is often the target of similar threats from North Korea. On Sunday, Rondong Simun, the official newspaper of the ruling Workers' Party, warned that sanctions or other actions against Pyongyang would result in the United States being capitulated into an unimaginable sea of fire. In other words, we're not just sitting back and thinking about all that verbal threats. We're willing to back up what we say. You know, I want to talk about this here. When you got a crazy man, and some people say this here, and please don't take me seriously, but some people say the United States has a crazy man too. But the thing of it is that when you have people that are saying crazy things and not afraid to do crazy things, that sounds like heaven. Don't you think, Miss Bianca, that sounds kind of crazy for a country of that size to be so audacious and they're bold and they're boasting about what they'll do to the United States, and the United States president saying things what we'll do. I mean, where's I thought government's supposed to be other people and for the people and by the people. Isn't Congress supposed to have a say so in all of this here? What do you think about this here? You're a young millennial. What do you think about this?
Well, Trump has tried to create a sense of division since the day he walked into office. So it would only be right, in my opinion, that he continue to do that. Is it the right thing to do? No. I think that he should be trying to do things to make things more inclusive and not destructive. I don't understand why he would think a war is something that anybody wants. And to talk or dance around the subject is just uncalled for.
And, you know, when we talk about war, war is not, is no longer the conventional types of war that has been fought throughout the centuries and the decades. It's just not. I was watching an old it's not really an old movie. It's a movie that Matthew McConaughey plays in it, and it's called The Free State of Jones. Jones County was in Mississippi, and they decided to – it really was interesting because the residents of that particular county were fighting against the Confederates who were taking – their products and farm goods, using it to support and to supply food for the troops. And they were fighting up, raised up quite an army against that. But anyway, it was one clip about the Civil War when it was fighting against the Union, and they just lined up, line across line, breast against breast, and they just marched off into gunfire, and they would shoot cannons and shoot gunfire, and they just fall down like deer. I don't know how you can fight a war like that, but that's the conventional way that they fought. I guess it was on manpower. Who's ever left standing that you were able to fight? Well, them traditional ways, them old ways, they don't get it no more. That's one reason why ISIS is so long enduring in the way that they fight. They don't fight the traditional ways no more. Who in the world would have thought that they would have engineered the hostile takeover of 747? And just drive them into the World Trade Towers, where it literally became a flying missile. And you saw the results of it. So if you think that it's going to be heads up, it's not. It's not. It's going to be, if it comes down to that, it's going to be a tradition. And I tell you something else was not going to happen. It's not going to be like during World War II where they gathered up all the Japanese and put them in an internment camp. That's what they did. Yes, if you were Japanese back during that time, they literally got you and rounded you up and put you into an internment camp out there in, I believe, California. Yeah. Now, of course, the government has owned up to this here and has even given you some you Japanese descent and your ancestors some reparations. They've done that. But what I'm simply saying is, if it's going to be a fight, it's not going to be a traditional fight. And we just need to be aware of this here, sisters and brothers, because fire against fire is going to start a bonfire. That's what it's going to do. Yes. And in North Korea's highly productive state, media machine, the bellicose language, and all over the top threats are virtually a glitch. It's a glitch. When Supreme Leader Kim Jong Un ousted his uncle Jang Song Taek, these some names, aren't they? Isn't it, Miss Bianca? These some names, aren't they? In December 2013, the KCNA described him as a despicable human scum, Jang, who was worse than a dog, perpetuated twice cursed acts of treachery and betrayal of such profound trust and warmest paternal love shown by the party and the leader for him. Listen, this man don't play. His uncle was listening to one of his speeches. This is a fact. And he went to sleep. And he took him. He had him. After he discovered that he was asleep, he ordered him out and had him executed. His uncle. Now, I know a lot of us is listening. You listening in the audience, you have uncles and aunts that you can wonder what needs to happen to them, but family will be family. Well, in his case, that was the end of him sleeping on one of his messes, first time and last time. This is the kind of man we're dealing with. President Trump, I hope you know what you're doing. But I have to say it. It's not going to be you out there. God's not going to be you going over there. It's not going to be you putting on your khakis, not even your sweatsuit, and going over there fighting with Kim Jong. You know what? Maybe that's what needs to happen. Put you and Kim Jong in a ring. What do you think about that, Miss Bianca?
That'd be pretty funny.
That's what they need to do. These old men, in the case of Kim Jong, he's not old though, but these old men, they start these wars and they send these young people off to go fight them, and they're the ones that's dying. They're the ones that come back veterans, wounded, loss of limbs, loss of life, paralyzed, and then can't even get the necessary service that they need as a war veteran. That's why we open up the program today with the song, Let Us Kiss, Not at War. Let's love, let's not at war. You say, well, you taking a page out of the hippies. I am taking a page from the standpoint, I don't like to see anybody have to experience an unnecessary death. Well, U.S. leaders have received somewhat similar treatment. The KCNA once accused President Barack Obama of being a clown. Well, you know, our Asian brothers and sisters have been kind of behind the eight ball on that one anyway, because especially in Japan, they have had things where some racial overtones and innuendos have been strong. Darky toothpaste, Sambo drinks. I'm telling you. Yeah. They calling him a clown with big lips and everything, big monkey ears. And they said the then Secretary of State, John F. Kerry, had a hideous lantern jaw. In other words, the way he looks, he don't look right. He don't look human. He looks inhuman. He looks like something's wrong. How in the world can you dehumanize a person by a statement like that? How can you do that? By the way he looks, said he's got a lantern jaw. I'm happening to looking at a lantern up here in our office here right now. And when I look at that lantern, and when I think of John F. Kerry, his jaw don't look nothing like a lantern. That's a pot shot that the Koreans was taking against him. And in June, a commentary in Rod Dong, Cimarron, called Trump a psychopath who might launch a preemptive strike on North Korea to distract from his domestic problems. Well, I can truthfully say President Trump does have some domestic problems. He does. But he also has a fan base that they admire him. They support him 100%, basically rural. But there's other people that's wondering, what the heck is this 45th president doing? He's doing things and saying things from the uttermost to the guttermost that just haven't been said before. Make no difference where he's at. If he's at a Boy Scout camp in West Virginia, or if he's responding to something that's happening in New Jersey. That's what's going on. Well, I tell you, the sheer frequency of these threats and insults, fire against fire, tongue against tongue, lash against lash, has long made them easy to dismiss, but it's the opportunity for a spark to ignite a firestorm. Trump himself has spoken with relative kindness about Kim. Yes, he has, calling him a pretty smart cookie in an interview in April. That's what he said. I think he really admires this young man's toughness, aggressiveness, boldness. He kind of appeals to him like that. And I don't think that you can really fault this man, because one thing I can say, what he does, he expresses himself. It may not be what we like to hear. It may not be like what we like to think about. But maybe to some, he is a pretty smart cookie. But I tell you one thing, there comes a time when I was growing up, it was enough for talk. Talk, too much talk was enough. And you literally just reach down and you put a stick on your shoulder. You say, okay, you big and you bad, then you knock this off my shoulder. And if they came up and knocked that stick off your shoulder, I don't know who in the world thought of a crazy thing like that. But if somebody knocked that stick off your shoulder, it was on. It was on. May the best person win. That's the way it was. And that's what it seemed like it's coming to. It's coming down to that. I hope it's not. But now that developments have made clear that North Korea's weapon program is developing and may soon, if not already, pose a threat to the United States, Trump appears to have changed his rhetoric. Yes. They say that North Korea has developed a small nuclear bomb that can be mounted on the missile. Yes. They've been aggressively 24/7 working to make this a reality, and they have achieved that particular feat. It is coming to fruition. Who wants to think about that? But that's the time we're living in. We take a lot for granted. We do. We take a lot for granted. You never know. Life is uncertainty. The Bible says that life is like a vapor. You could be here today and gone today. You say you can live today and die tomorrow. No, you can live today and you can die today. That's just the way it is. That's the reason why the millennials, they take things differently from the other generation. They don't take a lot of stuff for granted. They're very serious-minded people. They take life serious. That's right. They think before they do. Many of them, before they have a baby or bring a child into this world, they'll have a dog or a cat. And that becomes their pre-parenting opportunity to see what's it like taking care of someone other than me or us before it becomes we. That's the way the millennials think. Yes. So I want people to think about all this rhetoric that's going on. It's some serious stuff out here which poses a threat not only to the United States but also to North Korea. Yep. But in doing so, he may have set himself an impossible red line. You know, when you cross that line, it's a total different situation. Have you ever done something you wonder, oh my, why have I done that? But it's too late. That's what it is. Violence, it happens. But we should always be willing to reassess our positions. And don't be afraid to apologize or to say that I was wrong. Be willing to admit that you made a mistake. What's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. We need to do it more. Don't you think so, Miss Bianca? Don't you think if you made a mistake, you should do it? You're not married yet. Am I correct in saying that?
No, I'm not married.
But what about mistakes?
What about them?
Do you admit them if you make them?
Oh, yeah, of course. As long as I feel like I'm wrong 100%.
What if you are wrong?
What if I'm not wrong?
What if you are wrong?
If I'm wrong, then I'll admit that I'm wrong or apologize.
I see there.
But sometimes you can be 50-50 wrong. Sometimes you don't correctly explain things or you don't communicate adequately enough. But sometimes it can be two people's fault. So you can admit your fault while explaining to somebody else how they were wrong.
You know, I think the problem is we don't filter. I'll say that again. We don't filter our thoughts. Well, I think we should do that. But in doing so, maybe he set himself an impossible red line. The president warned of fire and fury, not if North Korea carried out another missile test, but if it made another threat. And North Korea often makes threats. So to be continued, we'll see. We'll see. We don't know. I hope it doesn't play out that way. Maybe somebody will back down or not succumb to trickery. Well, this has been Stan Macklin and Bianca Forbes with Straight Talk. Remember, whatever you're going through, it's not the outlook, but it's the uplook that's going to make the difference. And remember, don't fight. Let's kiss.